You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
By the way, if you're holding on for a Frozen reference, just let it go. Oh no, what have I done?
And Daryl.
You ever heard the one about the...
This joke has been indefinitely postponed.
That was awesome. Greetings and welcome to episode 126 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on April 26th and
no,
maybe
that's wrong.
The 27th.
Guess again.
The 28th.
There you
maybe
go.
Maybe the 29th, depending on where you're from in this world. My name is Rob, and I no longer play on a PvP server. We have officially moved. We have moved the guild, and a bunch of folks have moved tunes and all over to a PvE server. And I could not be more excited about it. And with me to celebrate this momentous occasion tonight is my bro host, Daryl. How are you doing?
I am doing well, especially now that we're on a PvE server. And what brought it all home was last night when I think you said Justin had mentioned it to you, and then you mentioned it to me, is we can now hop on a flight path on Tanan, go AFK, come back, and we won't be dead. That's amazing.
This is like new. I know this is old hat for some people, but this is a brand new luxury for us. So I'm super excited about it.
Well past due.
Tonight we have a four-time returning guest. He's got a chair over there with his name on it that I think he's been joined us quite enough now. Very special topic lined up. Can we get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Magdalena? Thank you so much for joining us again tonight.
Anytime. Happy to be here.
I love this topic, and I love the fact that that you were kind of inspired to do it by some of what you're doing in the what you've been a part of with Warcraft and the community for years now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you've been at something like this for 5+ years, and especially when you notice that there have been, especially, I mean, I'm going to obviously discuss this in depth, but so many communities have formed more recently, especially with the advent of new chat programs and new ways for gamers to connect. And as somebody that's just been needing it for so long, it felt like an appropriate topic, especially as we're on the cusp of a new expansion.
I absolutely agree. And for those of you who are wondering, the topic tonight is going to be about what it really means to lead a community here, whether it be Warcraft or one of the other Blizzard mm-hmm. games. Magdalena has tons of experience. We don't need to get to know him. He's practically family here. But maybe we'll take a quick second. Besides moving to a PvE server, Daryl, what do you have going on? We haven't checked in with the worst question in podcasting in quite a while now. But what have you been up to this week?
This week. It's nice outside. We're in our, couple weeks of summer here. So I'm actually trying to get outside and get some work done. I've got, some friends, some guildmates actually, raid members coming this summer to help me build my deck. And, we've called that Team Crab Deck. It's been a lot of, I'm trying to get ready for that. I know in June I got a demo of my current deck and, put some new piles in so that we're all ready for that. So when they come, we can just get right to it and get building. Tonight, actually, we ended up changing the design of the deck again, just because where we're going to put the barbecue, it's just not going to work quite right or quite as well as we had hoped. So the only other option is to put the barbecue on the other side. But to do that, we have to make the deck bigger. So that's what we're doing. I'm getting a bigger deck. Everyone loves a bigger deck.
I believe that one alone. Max, how about you? What have you been up to since we last got to chat with you?
I would say primarily just lots of alpha testing. I've obviously, as my last episode made very clear, I've made no secret of the fact that I dislike 7.0 DK very strongly. So in addition to testing DK, I've also taken the time to test out Demon Hunter, because that was the class that I was very interested in from the get-go.
Yes.
And over the past, like I would say 2 or 3 weeks, I've really taken the time to play the class in a variety of situations on Alpha. I've leveled, straight from 100 to 110. I've done multiple dungeons, even a few raid tests on it, and I've played both specs. And I would like to think that I now have at least a decent grasp of the class mechanics.
So what do you think?
Are you feeling any better about the blood DK now?
No. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm just going to be completely honest. I'm just going to go ahead and say that I strongly dislike 7.0 DK design, and that's that. But, you know, I will say that Demon Hunters actually got some very fun tools. And obviously, you know, we can go on this whole rant about how they may or may not be very balanced for raids. But they're a very fun class so far from a superficial level. Now, I'm not going to comment on the actual depth behind, you know, like really extended gameplay, but stuff like double jump, glide, and fell rush. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to really appeal to a lot of people.
I have leveled two Demon Hunters up to, I've got one at 110 and one at 108, I think, and I love both of them. I'm having a ton of fun with both of them, so looking forward to that going live. Obviously, we still have 4 months, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, other than your Demon Hunters, Rob, what have you been up to?
You know, moving over to the new server, I've actually, rather than the fudging around with the whole trying to transfer tunes, I've just decided to go ahead and to level a couple. And I had a few over there already, so I've been leveling a little bit, hanging out, and mainly just trying to not be too sick I live in Central Texas, and there's just a ton of allergies and pollens and crazy stuff going on right now, so I'm trying to lay low. You may be able to hear it in my voice a little bit. I think I'm good enough to carry through tonight.
All right.
Well, I can completely empathize with pollen, with pollen issues, believe me.
Yeah, when it hits hard, so, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we should take a short break for this and then get on to the show.
This is Royalite from Random CS, and you're listening to The Training Dubbies. Wow. Sorry, can we do that again? I'm for some odd reason, when I started to say dummies, I felt like dummies was the wrong word. Like I was calling you guys a name. And then I was like, wait, no, that is their name. So I'm sorry. Start again, please. This is Royalite from Random CS, and you're listening to The Training Dubbies with Rob and Daryl.
You know, if you keep doing that to people, they're not going to record bumpers.
Yeah, that's evil.
I told her I was going to use it. I told her that. So anyway, awesome. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. And myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. So, community leadership.
We are definitely going to let Max just drive the bus here. I think he's got some really, really... I've actually enjoyed reading through mm-hmm. these notes. So,
well, let's.
I'll butt in as I come up with stuff, but.
But maybe if you want to start with what community it is that you do lead, and we'll take it from there.
Sure. I guess I am actually a moderator and co-owner of several communities, but the community that I am the best known for, and the community that you know is closest to my heart, is Acherus. That is named after the location in World of Warcraft, i.e. the necropolis that's floating over the Eastern Plague Lands. Acherus is the class hall for Death Knights and Legion as well. And so quite appropriately, it is also the name for the Death Knight community. Acherus was formed in May of 2011. I can't believe that I'm saying that. It's going to be 5 years old this May. So in fact, I believe that I'm recording this episode around 12 days before it turns 5.
Oh, wow.
So happy birthday in advance.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Nice.
And so Acherus is, you know, of course, it's a Deathknight community, but then it's also more than that. And there's a whole story to how Acherus was formed, how it became what it did, and how it's essentially, you know, I mean, modesty aside, I would say that Acherus has set the, you know, at the very least, it served as an inspiration point for almost every other class community out there. So the story here is that in 2011, I joined Twitter for the first time as, you know, basically as a Death Knight, just looking to talk with other people who were playing WoW and also on Twitter. And it just so happened that I came across a few people. Specifically, you know, the people that are very relevant to this memory are, one, there is Heartless DK, who, amazingly enough, actually went on to go and work at Blizzard and still works there right now. And the other person is a Death Knight by the name of Fengor. So all of us, and a few others, essentially took to Twitter literally to complain to one another about Death Knights. This was an early Cataclysm, and, you know, we were just whining to one another, essentially. And then the idea came to us that, you know, rather than just looping one another, you know, one another in on 140 character long conversations that were both cumbersome and frankly rated, didn't really get the point across, what if we actually created a place where we could all talk? And so I'll give him credit here. It was Fengor who actually set up the Acherus IRC, which was a place for Death Knights to come and talk about their class. And from there, it just evolved and grew. And it became bigger and bigger. And, I mean, it's hard to describe how, I mean, the, you know, just the sheer journey that this community has taken, you know, in, over the years. I remember when we first formed, it was usually very common to see a maximum of 17 to 18 people. Whereas right now, if you look at our Discord server, we have well over 300 or 400 on at any good point. And we also have something like 800 people who have registered. Not to mention that you know, there are obviously more people who follow our work in a wider context. But getting back to the story for a bit, I was past leadership of Acherus actually fairly shortly because what happened was that Fengor quit the game, I believe, in tier 12, or maybe it was tier 13. I think it was tier 12. I eventually took charge of the IRC, and I have led the community since. Acherus has, you know, I mean, so it's always been about Death Knights, but then over the years, it's also been about much more. I believe it was in 2014 that other class communities began to form. And I'm very proud to say that these class communities initially modeled themselves around us. First it was monks, then it was mages and rogues, then hunters, and so on and so forth. And, you know, before I knew it, I mean, looking at, you know, this huge list of servers in front of me right now, there's a community for every single class out there, including demon hunters, which aren't even live yet. And, you know, Acherus has been the inspiration behind all these communities. Now, to be clear, they've all conducted themselves quite differently and, you know, all have very different rules and cultures surrounding them. But I'm very proud of the DevEc community for essentially serving as the cornerstone behind which all other communities have formed themselves. And obviously, I'm going to mention that while communities, you know, don't just exist in the form of class communities. You also have things like a Discord for tanks, a Discord for gold baking in WoW. Mm-hmm. You also have private Discords, you know, which I'm also a part of, where a few WoW players, you know, just feel like talking to their friends. And you also have things like a Reddit WoW Discord. So, quite.
And I also mentioned that there's a Training Dummies Discord as well.
There is, indeed.
Just throw that in there.
So I suppose it's appropriate to mention Discord because, you know, this is something that's also been gripping the community lately. IRC, for those that aren't aware, is Internet Relay Chat. It's been along for a very long time and is in a much more, you know, operates on a much more simpler format. I'm not going to go into the details of exactly how Discord works, but the short story is that basically it's a program that allows gamers to talk to one another and also has voice servers. Think of it a bit as a combination of Slack and, you know, Mumble or Ventrilo combined. And because it's all happening on one client, that appeals to, you know, to too many people, whereas IRC is much more loose and much more split up. So the advent of Discord has actually changed quite a few things as far as classes go. First of all, although, you know, a lot of these class communities did exist in the past, the advent of Discord allowed them to become a lot more, I don't want to use the word formal, but it allowed these classes to at least to create a much more solid base for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because Discord, by its very virtue, has options that IRC does not offer. For example, you can be logged out of Discord, but it'll still keep all of your it'll retain messages for a long time. You can also, you know, there are quite a few rich features like that Discord offers that IRC doesn't. Things like text formatting, I mean, images, you know, file uploads, etc., etc.
The groupings and permissions and all that.
Exactly.
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, what I'm just trying to say is that, you know, Discord allowed people to, you know, to get into this community mindset in a way that IRC, I think, just didn't. Because IRC is something that's much older. So that's, you know, pretty much a hefty intro as to what formed these communities in the first place.
it just kind of evolved over time, and Discord has kind of really facilitated that to be open and easy to get into for a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah, and IRC, I know, has been around forever. When I first heard that the Death Knight community or Acheris was on IRC, my only thought was, people still use IRC? That was, it's like, holy cow, it was like 20 years ago I used to use that or something. Like, you know, it was just crazy. I couldn't believe it.
Indeed. And, it's funny, but like, part of the reason that we chose IRC as our medium of communication was because it was so old and also therefore so simplified. Mm-hmm. We wanted something that was easily accessible to many people. And I'll be discussing later on why that was very important as well, and why still, that still is very important.
Well, the fact that it was web-based, too, meant people could get to it from home or from work, or, you know, and it was a lot easier to kind of deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you've got here the topic of actual leadership, so what?
Yeah, let's just dive right into that. So before I say anything about leadership, I want to say something very clearly, and I wrote up this disclaimer, you know, just for, you know, because I wanted to make sure that everybody, knew what I was saying from the get-go. Mm-hmm. It's quite simple. My thoughts on leadership and also on community leadership are completely my own. And this is my philosophy. And I'm sure that quite a lot of people who listen to this will not agree with me, especially if they are community leaders. I am primarily drawing from my own experience, which, to be fair, is also a lot more than most people. And I acknowledge that experience is not going to speak to everybody. People have their own way of leading things, of organizing groups, and that's completely okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to, you know, make clear that just because I run my community a certain way does not mean that I think that everybody needs to follow my format. And nor do I claim that my format is perfect or is without its flaws. So with that out of the way, I suppose the first question to ask is, what kinds of goals does a person have to come up with when they form a community? And what do they hope to accomplish by creating or maintaining a community? Well, with Death Knights, it was quite simple. Basically, what happened was that towards the start of Cataclysm, a number of Death Knight 3 crafters who were very prominent in Wrath quit. These people basically, you know, had real life come up, had their own issues, you know, to deal with. And it was only then that we realized how dependent we had become on one or two people. One person I'll name was a Death Knight by the name of Consider. And he used to run, I believe, the Elitus Jerks DPS DK guides, both Frost and Unholy. Mm-hmm. And he also had a blog that people were very, you know, that served as a center for Death Knight blogging and for discussion. When we saw how bereft the community seemed without these figures, we realized that we needed something that was more sustainable. Acheris was the answer to that, because by forming a collective class think tank, we were hoping to eliminate the problem where if one community member quits, your entire community ends up in big trouble. Because hopefully by that time, there will be enough collective knowledge and there will be enough collaboration that your community will be able to carry on just fine without you. To its credit, I want to say that Acheris has been around for so many years. We've had many high-profile people come and go, and yet as a community, we have endured. And, you know, that's very, you know, that's something that we're very happy with. Mm-hmm. So that goes over the basics of our goal and what we hope to accomplish. But then there's much more to it, isn't there? The next question to ask is, what kind of culture does a leader want to foster in a community? And what kinds of rules does a leader need to set in order to see that culture respected? Now, this is very important because this is what essentially defines what the community experience is going to be. You can say, oh, this is a place for Death Knights to chat. But here's a fact. The way in which people are going to chat to one another, especially on the internet, can vary wildly. And what they say and how they say it is going to be very dependent on what kind of environment they're in. Now, again, I don't speak for everybody over here. I speak solely for my community. But part of my goals, at least with Acheris, are that people should not feel afraid to ask questions. And people should also feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Comfort is very important to me mm-hmm. here. I do not want something that's completely dry and academic and solely about wow. We're talking about an organic community over here that grows over time. Therefore, topics like sexuality, gender, skin color, and even things like politics, these are all realities of life. Now, I realize that we try and minimize mentioning these things in the game community outside of, you know, perhaps being stereotypically racist or making jokes about them. But they are things that, you know, are important markers of identity to a lot of people. Within Acarus, you should not feel as if, you know, your gender or your sexuality are something that are going to be used against you. It's all too often that I see so many communities where it's so common to make jokes about gay people or about, you know, say, I mean, you know, I'm not even going to go into every single example because, you know, name one, it's probably, you know, being mocked in some way. Now, to be clear, it's fine for those communities to run themselves the way that they do, but there is a very definite cost here that I feel that people don't acknowledge, which is that very often people often stop wanting to even speak or feel that an environment is too toxic for them to have any input to. My belief is that Acarus is at its strongest when the maximum number of people feel that they can say something in there and can, you know, feel like they can express themselves. That demands an atmosphere of mutual respect and also of a certain level of decorum. So the way in which I've modeled Acarus and the way in which I would like to continue modeling it is a place where at the very least people can understand basic respect for one another.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I agree.
So moving on, I guess the next question would also be about how one arranges the community. I mean, do you stratify by topic? Do you allow, you know, different channels? Do you allow off-topic channels? And do you keep everything to just one channel? Now, in IRC, this was relatively simple. Acarus was just one room, so everything just took place in that one room, no matter what it was. Off-topic conversations, jokes, the occasional scolding by an angry mod, and of course, discussions about Death Knights. When Discord formed, however, as I'm sure most people listening to this know, Discord has the ability to create different channels and also for a community to stratify itself in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, in fact, in a majority of communities that I currently moderate and that I currently also act as a second in command of, there are a lot of different channels. Acarus, however, is different from these communities in that we only use one channel. This is a topic that has gotten a lot of criticism and a lot of complaints, but I feel it's very important to address why we do this. The first thing, as you know, is that, you know, I've mentioned both Discord and IRC varyingly so far, but I haven't talked about the connection between them. Because we're talking, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about two different mediums. These mediums do not exist independently of one another. You know, if you want to access Acarus, then it is very important to me that you're able to access it either through Discord or through IRC. To facilitate this, we've created bots that will relay messages from one medium to another. So if you're chatting in IRC, you can still talk to people in Discord. And if you're talking in Discord, you can still chat to people in IRC. Unfortunately, what this also means is that we need one central channel because we want to emulate that environment where people are able to speak to one another freely. If we had different channels in Discord, what would end up happening was that IRC would only end up getting, you know, a very limited amount of what was actually happening. Now, you could theoretically set up multiple bots, you know, that could all report back to IRC and Discord, but that would be quite exhausting, number one. And number two, it would also be messy from the IRC perspective. It was very important to us when Discord came around, by the way, that it basically served an extension, you know, as an extension of the community. We didn't want it replacing IRC in the first place. We also wanted to make sure that that a person felt comfortable using either. And I mean, you know, as I can attest to, in Acarus right now, we still have people who stick to IRC solely because they prefer using it. Because they don't like Discord. And we also have people who only use Discord. Now, I use both because, you know, being the leader, I have to be present in both mediums.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's very important to us that we maintain it in this way. Now, I want to address a couple of, I'm not going to call these misconceptions, but a couple of arguments that I hear in favor of maintaining different channels. First of all, a lot of people say that you should maintain different channels because it allows for more concentrated discussion of a single spec or of a single topic. And also that you should have, you know, different channels for the sake of talking about off-topic things as well. I would counter these in several ways. First of all, on the topic of different specs. Now, I can't speak for every class out there, but Death Knights possess one tanking spec and two DPS specs. More importantly, we're a class that I believe is at its best when its players understand how it works holistically.
Mm-hmm.
Cross-spec discussion is therefore very, very important. That is something that is completely lost if you end up stratifying solely mm-hmm. by topic. And I'm sorry, I know that you're about to say something, so I'll do this very quickly. But it's very important to me that conversation runs organically. When you stratify by topic, you're also essentially creating an expectation that people are going to stick to topic. It puts you in this awkward position where your moderators have to tell people, oh, listen, this is the blood, this is the blood channel. Please, only talk about blood DKs over here. And that cross-pollination, that ability to make links between different specs, different classes, different facets of the game becomes irrevocably lost. And that is one reason as to why I've kept Acheron the way it is right now. Many people argue that it's more chaotic this way, and I agree, it is quite chaotic. And there is something to be said for the fact that it also, it causes people to miss conversations as well a little bit more easily because, it's just one channel, so the messages are just flying by, and there's no central resource to consult with, for one spec or channel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that these are downsides that we are absolutely willing to accept because the trade-off is that you still have a community that feels like a cohesive whole, and that's very important to me.
The only thing I was going to say was kind of what you were talking about with keeping everything in one channel is there's a push lately towards a focus on class fantasy and embracing what it means to be a monk or a DK or whatever. And I feel like what you're saying kind of agrees with that, like to say like, unholy DK is not so far removed from blood DK that we can't just understand that the core of them really kind of complement each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and I want to be clear, even though DK is kind of unique in that, because of the way, like, at least up until now, in both Mists and Warlords, DK talents were the same for every single spec. And I would argue that if you understood one spec, you were capable of playing the other specs, decently enough, as well. But my argument is that I believe that other classes would also operate like this. Am I saying that it would be easy? No. For example, Druids, talking about Resto, Guardian, Balance, and Kitty. I understand that there would be a certain level of chaos involved, in trying to distill conversation on that. Now, to be fair, Druids also have the advantage of having only a Discord server. To my knowledge, there is no Druid IRC out there. But this is very important, to me at least, that we, again, I'm going to circle back to a word that I used before, organic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep, we want it to feel like a community where people can actually talk face to face. I mean, I guess the best analogy that I can draw is imagine you're all in a big room and you're all chatting with one another. Yes, there's a certain level of noise, but at least you can see one another. And what's more, there's the potential for facets of conversation to exist in that one big room that wouldn't exist if you were all split up according to two different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And furthering that is what I want to talk about next, which is about the kind of conversations and dialogues that you have within a community. See, Acheron is a Death Knight community, but it's not just about Death Knights. First of all, we have representatives from every other class in the game in Acheron at the very moment. And when I say that they're in there, I don't just mean that they're as lurkers, but they're people who actively participate in our conversations, who chat with us, laugh with us, joke with us. And it's very important to me that these people feel comfortable within a Death Knight-themed channel. Now, I'm going to be clear. Of course, when there's when there's a need to talk about something that Blizzard is doing, if I just say 7.0 DK design, then, of course, the channel tends to focus on that as its topic. But here's the cool thing. Mods don't have to step in and say, hey guys, please keep things on topic. Because when the community itself wants to discuss the topic of Death Knights, then it literally moderates itself. And there's no need for a mod to step in. Whereas I would argue that with split channels, as multiple other communities have, I often see mods saying, hey guys, this is off topic. Hey guys, please keep discussing this and not that. I feel that puts a real crimp on the smoothness of conversation and also on, frankly, I mean, not just on harsh, but also on people's imagination. Because if all you're doing is accepting or absorbing, you know, dialogue through just one medium, through one channel, then you're missing out, in my opinion, on a very vast games. What else was I saying? Another very important thing about Acurus is that it's a place for people who've also quit WoW long ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what's really amazing about us, is that many of our members are people who quit WoW, but who still come over here for the community, mm-hmm. who still hang out over here because they like the people who, you know, they're hanging out with. And that's very important to me.
Okay. So I'm sure that, you know, you get your DK topics and those conversations just start flowing. Of course, it's the DK channel. But what about other conversations or topics that might, you know, just randomly occur? Like the election's coming up in the US here. So I'm sure there's been discussions about politics or any number of things. So when do you step in and draw the line on a certain conversation enough is enough of this, or guide the conversation that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great question. You know, some of the most productive and I think meaningful conversations that we've had in Acurus have had nothing to do with World of Warcraft. They've been about things like human sexuality. I remember a conversation in which a transgender individual described some of the discrimination that they face at work. I remember a conversation in which somebody else was talking about, the fact that a physical disability prevented them, from leaving home, and what kind of impact that meant on their life. I remember a conversation where we talked about Jewish traditions in Iran. These are all topics that obviously have nothing to do with World of Warcraft, but they've absolutely been some of the most meaningful ones that I remember about the community.
Right.
So how do you, how do you navigate that space? Well, first things first, slurs and insults are completely unacceptable, and they're fairly easy to call out. You know, if you're calling somebody a slur that is forbidden, then it's fairly easy to ask them to stop, and if necessary, to take action if the action is, if the offense is severe enough. As far as certain forms of discussion on real life topics go, I would say that the key element is respect, and to carry it on in a respectful tone. You can have a very productive conversation, and even a passionate conversation, by the way, as long as you all understand that the person who you're speaking to, or the people who you're speaking to, aren't just random letters on the internet. These are actual people on the other end of the screen. As long as that happens, I think that Acurus has, done a pretty damn good job of, basically coming together as a community. It's not just about, random, this is that one death knight from that server. No, this is a person who I know as a friend who, I would be very happy to meet at BlizzCon, who I've spoken to in enough depth that I feel like I know them as a person, or at least what they've chosen to reveal about themselves as a person. And what I've said is that, this is sort of circling back to what I was saying about unrestricted conversation. When conversation is relatively unrestricted, then people can begin to make interesting connections between topics. And this, in turn, will yield more productive discussion. So very often, yes, it's true that conversations about WoW will veer on and off. But as I noted, when something important happens, the community will literally guide itself and will talk about, that important WoW topic or that important change to DKs right then and there. After that, we'll also drift off to other things. And that is part of what makes it, feeling, and it's, that is what helps retain that feeling of this being an actual community. And not of it being this artificial hospital type environment where everything has to be according to place and according to format. I hope that makes sense over here. And then, as I noted, Acurus also has a ton of non-DK members. One of the reasons, one of the ways in which I think that they feel comfortable talking in a DK channel is when they see, okay, I might not play a DK, but I can relate to this topic about life or about what's happening over here, etc., etc.
It really is about building the community and not necessarily about focusing in on the technical workings of playing a Death Knight.
Absolutely. I mean, the existence of the Death Knight community, obviously, yes, the Death Knight class was behind it, but that's not all it needs to be. Put it this way, WoW was the inspiration, but WoW is not the limit.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
All right, so What about, let's see, how do I want to word this? Okay, so you've talked about, you know, your conversations can flow, but there is a point where someone needs to step in. It doesn't matter what it is. When you've got a group of random people on the internet, things are going to come up that need moderated. So how do you delegate who is a moderator? Who do you pick who your moderators are? Or, and you know, what's a good amount to have, that kind of thing, if you want to go into something like that?
Sure, absolutely. So I guess, like, the overarching, you know, topic behind this is, you know, delegating responsibility and how do you enforce rules. Number one, I want to say that I very firmly believe that there is such a thing as too many moderators, and there's very much a thing such, you know, there is very much, you know, a phenomenon known as over-moderation. My philosophy is that you should have as few moderators as possible, and that you need to choose few, choose wisely. This means that, you know, for some people, it's just, oh, I like you, I'm going to make you a mod. That's not me at all. I think I've promoted around 2 or 3 mods in total over the past 5 years, which, you know, should tell you how stringent I am with this stuff. I will only promote you to a moderator if I believe you have what it takes, and if, and also if I believe that you are on board with how this community is supposed to function.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to me that you're only a moderator if you understand what function this community has, how it, you know, and how you should be playing a role in, you know, in enforcing a certain environment within that community. So I guess, you know, like, I've talked about all these lofty goals and about all these hopes and desires for what a community should become. How do you delegate, and how do you choose a new mod? In my case, it tends to be that I look at how people conduct themselves within a community. I tend to look at what they say, what they do, also what they don't say, by the way. This is very important. If you are somebody that is not prone to jumping into very passionate arguments, you know, in a very heated manner, if you're somebody that demonstrates that you have the ability to think rationally, to act, you know, in a decisive manner, but still, you know, have a relative number, you know, like have a relative amount of restraint, then my opinion of you as a moderator, or at least of, you know, having the potential of a moderator, goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the thing is, it's always struck me as bizarre that some people think that being a moderator is some sign of great honor. I don't understand this at all, because essentially, if I turn you into a moderator, I'm literally saying to you, help shoulder this burden with me, please. Please help me enforce a certain way, enforce a certain code of conduct over here. Now, there can be people who somehow, you know, who take pleasure in waving their mod finger or their ban hammer at somebody.
Or, you know, just basically like that.
Wait a minute. You know,
there can be people who, you know, like, who almost get pleasure in bossing around under the, you know, you know, other people, or saying, you know, that you can say this or you can't say that. And those are exactly the kind of people who you do not want as leaders. One of my friends once said something, and I completely agree with them. The sure sign that you're a good leader is that you really don't want to be a leader at all. Because the entire time you're aware of your own restrictions. You're aware of, you know, of what it is to be a leader, and also on the burden of leadership. Now, what do I mean by the burden of leadership? I'm talking about things like the balance of power. As a community leader, I am completely cognizant of the fact that I innately carry a great degree of clout with what I say. Even if I say something that is blatantly incorrect, more people are likely to believe me or to give way to what I say than a random person who's just joined. Because of this, there are so many times that I very often remain silent, inaccurate. Not because I don't want to say something, not because I don't have input, but because I recognize that once I step in, something happens over there. Basically, the conversation essentially gets I'm not going to say that the conversation gets stopped, but it's, you know, it gets a certain twist put on it that would otherwise not be possible. So essentially what I'm saying is that if you're leading a community, be prepared to actually sacrifice some of what you enjoy the most about that community. And, you know, on the flip side, you know, so on one hand, you're holding, you know, you have to hold yourself high and aloft. At the same time, though, you also want to appear to be accessible. People should absolutely not be afraid to approach a leader or a moderator about, you know, something that's happening in the community or even on an individual basis. You know, I would hope that nobody would feel that it was too hard to approach Mag as, you know, as a one-on-one individual. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like letting yourself get teased in the open or even joining in with the banter sometimes are very important things, I believe, for a leader. Basically, don't make it seem as if you're completely uptight and just there to enforce rules. Because if you're constantly cold and, you know, unreachable, then that reflects on your community as well. And that tends to also upset people very easily. And I suppose what I, like, you know, the other thing that I would say is that in my view, the ideal leader hates intervening or confronting people while conversations are being conducted and will only use these tools as a very last resort. I guess one quote that I want to use that's very relevant is that people will rarely remember what you say, mm-hmm. but they will always remember how you make them feel.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Because mm-hmm. of this, it's not just about not involving yourself, but also about how you carry on things in IRC. In your community. Now, I'll give an example over here. Suppose somebody is leading a conversation in a direction that I don't think is very helpful. Okay, here's one example. Somebody is being very rude about a Blizzard employee, saying that this person is trash, this person is garbage, etc., etc. Now, I don't approve of this. I don't think that's something that is productive or helpful. If I were to say, hey, shut up right now, stop talking about this, then it would end that conversation. It would end that line of thought. But it would also result in somebody feeling hurt. It would result in anger. And it wouldn't actually solve the issue at the time. I guess the question that I'm asking is, why give a shove when all you really need is sometimes to give a gentle nudge?
Mm-hmm.
It's also very much about tone and what you say or how you deliver something. So, for example, if I say, you know, there's a huge difference between saying, hey, shut up, and between saying, hey, folks, this is not a very productive line of conversation. Or you could be even more subtle. You could joke around a little bit, try and, you know, move the conversation forward in a way that is a lot more subtle. So that people, you know, it almost seems like an organic switch from topic to topic that most people aren't aware of. And yet that unpleasantness is still gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that I think people in Accurus will be surprised by, and I hope that they're listening to this. People don't realize how tempting it is for leaders to intervene sometimes when we see something objectionable happening. Naturally, the bigger a community gets, the more easy it will be, or the more likely it will be that somebody will say something stupid or something rude, or there will be a scuffle, you know, that we're immediately tempted to go in, you know, and do something about. Here's something fun for the people in my community to know. For every one time that I've intervened, that I've scolded somebody for using a slur, or that I've, you know, basically had to chastise somebody, I can guarantee to you that there have been at least 5 other times when I haven't said a word, when I've been silently watching from my monitor and just, you know, thinking to myself, guys, come on, please, resolve this among yourselves. Come on. You guys can do this without me. And a large part of this is because that, you know, I hope that with time, the culture of the community will help people understand why saying something or doing it in a certain way is simply in poor form. What I would ideally like is a community where people don't feel as if they have to follow a code of conduct. They want to follow a code of conduct. I don't have to enforce something. I mean, rules are meant to be broken is a quote that you hear very often, right? That mm-hmm. is the kind of mindset that many channel goers will have. And they will continue to have that mindset until and unless they decide that these are rules that they actually want to live by. So, again, going back to good mod qualities. In my opinion, the best moderators or leaders hate shutting down any kind of conversation and absolutely loathe the idea of clicking or banning anybody. Because the hallmark of being a good leader is to be in a position where you only step in and use your authority when absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be very clear about something. It is not about showing who's boss. It's about earning the respect of your community members and holding them to a higher standard of behavior that they aspire towards. Now, to be clear, If somebody is doing nothing but insulting, is doing nothing but being rude and trolling, then yes, you're going to, you will most likely have to ban or at least mute them for that reason. But at the same time, if your first instinct is to wave your mod finger for nearly every situation that you see developing, it not only devalues the sense of authority that you carry, but it also hurts the community feel. Put it this way, I don't like appearing as a policeman. I don't like being viewed as the bad guy, necessarily. To be clear, I'm willing to play the bad guy if that's what it takes to improve something. But, you know, basically my question is, why have this long, drawn-out confrontation, which is going to end with people getting angry or hurt, when we could avoid the whole thing? Now, I want to be clear. On the flip side, you know, because you're applying all these restrictions to yourself and to what the community should or should not do, it's also very fair to expect people to follow your rules.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is going to agree with the community's philosophy, but it's not unreasonable to expect them to respect it. Now, I'll give you an example, and I'm going to actually name two people over here right now. Hopefully, they're not going to, you know, to mind me naming them. But two people that I can think of in Acarus who I know, you know, at least operate in a certain, you know, they operate in a somewhat different mindset, and yet, you know, to their credit, I'm very proud of the fact that they have at least managed to never give me reason to have to, you know, to moderate them or to, you know, to scold them. These people are Atlas and Banter. Now, to be clear, for anybody who's listening, you know, I'm not trying to say that they're the only example of this. But you know, there are two people who I want to mention because I noticed, you know, that these are individuals that very often, you know, in other communities might behave a different way, but know well enough that Acarus expects a certain level of, you know, of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to their credit, managed to maintain that. I'm very grateful for that. And I wish that more people were like that as well.
Well, not everyone does respect the rules, and we all know that. So that is going to lead to conflict. So
indeed.
How do you handle conflict?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that to anybody who's listening, especially to a community leader, conflict is inevitable. Please don't think that you can create a community or that you can engineer something where no conflict happens, okay? Because that is simply a fallacy. So if conflict is inevitable, the question becomes of how to handle it. As I noted above, it is all too easy to just shut down a conversation by saying, take this somewhere, or, you know, or to chastise one person for being rude. But what that does is that it ultimately leaves the situation to fester or to boil over again. In order to actually handle conflict, you need a way to resolve it. For example, if people are actually willing to talk, and this is very important, then you have the chance of being able to salvage a situation. You know, for example, very often, you know, my role ends up being more about calming people down than about actually saying, oh, you can't say this or you can't say that. And it's very important as well to talk to individuals one-on-one. This is why I said that you have to be approachable as a leader. People need to be able to come to you and talk to you about something. And this is, you know, now, when I say talk, I don't just need to talk about what's happening in the channel. I'm talking about instances where, you know, there have been times when I've actually had to ban somebody or to kick somebody from the community. But these people have later come and spoken to me. And I think that the most important thing to do in these situations is to show a level of respect. If you want to get somebody on your side as a leader, then show them that you are deserving of them wanting to behave better. Especially, you know, if you've kicked or banned somebody, then chances are that they're angry at you, chances are that they're mad at you, chances are that they feel slighted. Talk to them on a one-on-one level and explain patiently, rationally, and calmly why an action was carried out, whether or not they can be let back in, and if they can be let back in, what you expect. It's very important to hold these, you know, basically treat them how you would want to be treated yourself in such a situation. I realize that this is a very cliche thing to say, and this is a very, you know, it's very easy to say that, but not so easy to actually imagine how it's done. But the fact here is that if somebody feels like they, you know, like they can come in and, you know, still have saved face, then that is so very important because it'll make them want to behave better in the future.
Definitely.
You know, like why, you know, I'll put it this way. Are you more likely to want to annoy somebody that you like or somebody that you respect at the very least, versus, you know, versus as somebody who holds authority but doesn't really seem to be deserving of that, you know, of that authority. Speaking of the Banhammer, I want to say something about that. It is a leader's ultimate disciplinary tool, and using it on any serious member should be the very last thing that any leader should want. And I want to be clear about this. If your first instinct is to ban somebody, then you should not be leading a community.
Mm-hmm,
banning, basically, absolutely, you know, it is the end all. Once you've banned somebody, all potential conversation about that person or with that person is gone. I'm not even going to get into the repercussions about, you know, where somebody can get angry, feelings can fester, you know, it can result in other attacks in other places. Point being, only ban somebody if they have truly proven that they are incapable of gelling with the wider community. Now, of course, I want to be clear when I say, you know, like, I'm not counting trolls over here, and I'm not counting people who come in looking to get banned. Yeah, of course, you know, if somebody comes in, you know, saying rude stuff, you know, from the get-go, or being, you know, as condescending as possible, then yeah, it's fine. You know, you're going to have to take action there. But if it's somebody who, you know, who has at least, you know, maintained a presence in your community, then make sure that you give them their due. Put it that way.
How often do you find yourself in a position where somebody is just so, I don't know, belligerent or terrible that you just can't deal with them on a reasonable basis?
You know, it's tough to think about this because, you know, I suppose the best way would be, you know, to describe this would be that you would have had to run a whole lot to get banned from Acherus. Unfortunately, some people, you know, have for some reason decided to do that. I mean, back in February, there was somebody who just seemed determined to push as many rules as possible, to, you know, be as difficult to get along with, as toxic as possible. And in the end, you know, I feel as if I didn't really have much of a choice other than to ban them. I didn't like doing so. I, you know, actually thought very seriously about unbanning them. But at the end of the day, this person, you know, pretty much just proved to me that they weren't mature enough or capable enough to conduct themselves in a responsible fashion in a community. You know, and so, I mean, like, I guess if you're asking what does it take to get banned, you know, repeatedly flouting the rules, you know, I mentioned, for example, so this is kind of where it gets interesting. I mentioned, for example, that Acherus is a place where people should be free to talk about, you know, about themselves without fearing about that. Now, let me tell you something. Female gamers typically don't like it when they hear about their gender being referred to as, quote, whores or sluts constantly. In the same way, people who are LGBTQ don't appreciate being made into memes or being, you know, or having rude slurs thrown around them. And, you know, similarly, people don't appreciate ethnic slurs or, I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. I mentioned something about respect. Now, see, the thing is that in gamer culture, many people think that it's okay to say this stuff because it's the internet. And I want to be clear, very often people don't realize that they're being offensive. Very often they'll say, well, I didn't mean it that way, or just because I say X doesn't mean I actually think that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, be that as it may, the fact is... Well, I mean, sure, you know,
yeah.
Be that as it may, the fact remains that it's still a pretty big problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, it's funny that there's something else that I want to acknowledge over here because it is very important. We have a number of people in Acherus whose first language is not English. So I'm also quite sympathetic to the fact that many times people will, you know, say something, you know, make a slur or say something rude or, you know, without actually realizing why it is so offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a lot of you know, diversification within the English language. For example, I'm going to use a rude word over here. I hope that people don't object to this. But the word is something that's very rude, I know, in North America. Believe it or not, it's actually a very common hand phrase that I believe is used in places like Australia. Like, I've been told that it's no different than calling somebody, an idiot. So how do you reconcile that? Well, specifically, you know, when I noticed that somebody was using this language in Acherus, I PM'd them personally and I said, listen, I understand that the things are, you know, that they are a certain way where you're from. I would just like you to know, though, that this is an international environment and that please understand mm-hmm. that things can be construed a certain way. So could you please, you know, if you wouldn't mind, would you please mind not using this language? Very fortunately, this person was very agreeable. And, you know, we haven't had a problem since. So that's kind of why, you know, how you're able to tread that line, you know, so to speak, between somebody, you know, understanding that there's a certain way to behave, especially when there are inflammatory topics at hand. I mean, let me be clear. If you're going to permit inflammatory topics like religion or politics, then you need to be very, very careful with what language people use. Because if people are actually talking about real life issues, then they also become more sensitive to when slurs are used. So, you know, basically it's, you know, like I would like to think that my model for accuracy builds upon itself in this way. Other communities aren't like that, and that's totally fine for them. You know, that's totally cool. That's how they operate. But this is how I would like my community to operate.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, you when you come in with kind of some standards and this is my community, this is how we operate, and get on board or go somewhere else.
Absolutely. I mean, okay, you know, here's a harsh fact. This is something that most people don't like to admit to, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that class communities, or I should say most wealth communities, are not democracies. You have one or two people who are in charge, and essentially they dictate how things will go. Mm-hmm. You might have the illusion of a democracy. The fact is that at the end of the day, they're still the ones who are in charge. So with that in mind, you need to make sure that, you know, that people understand that you don't want to step in and, you know, you specifically aren't wanting to step in and remind them of your authority, but at the same time they need to respect it.
Absolutely. Do you feel like what's the hardest part about keeping a community together? You have such a diverse pool of people and everyone's kind of got their own agenda and a lot of kind of different opinions going on. What's the hardest part about keeping all those people playing nice and on the same page? And
I guess, I mean, I would just say that, you know, again, many people think that being a leader or being a mod is a very glamorous job. Let me assure anybody listening to this, it is quite the opposite of being glamorous. It is actually quite difficult. It is mm-hmm. burdensome. You are often left feeling hollow because, you know, because you've had to make a hard decision. And, you know, the person who you end up blaming the most when things go wrong very often is yourself. You ask yourself, what did I, you know, do wrong? How is it that the situation was able to develop on my watch, etc., etc.? Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that I despise leading the community. I've done it for 5 years because I care very much about the community. But I hope that people would understand that leading a community isn't, you know, or I should say a good leader isn't somebody who seeks power. A good leader is somebody who seeks to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Okay, let's move on then to some wider community relations. So as the leader of the Acheris community, when do you speak solely for yourself versus when you're speaking for the entire community? And how do you differentiate those?
I guess now specifically for me, it is a little difficult because since I'm the leader, very often I do act as the quote-unquote DK representative or the Acheris representative, especially when I'm in other communities. Now, I'm not trying to say that I always try and speak for Acheris, but I realize that sometimes there's actually a default assumption that this guy speaks for the larger community. The most important thing, I guess, would be that especially when offering official feedback on, say, a class feature, always make sure to emphasize that you're speaking solely for yourself. You know, for example, if I offer feedback about Death Knights right now, it will be only as Mag, not as the leader of the Acheris community.
And well, yeah, but by default, you have that banner. And so no matter what you say, you could say, this is my opinion, but I mean, you kind of have a rally of people behind you that are saying, yep, that's our guy, you know?
I mean, at least for Acheris, the nice thing is that there are also quite a few dissenting opinions with mine, which by the way, it's fantastic. I know for a fact that people, for example, disagree with my analysis of how Set.0 DK is horrible, and you know what? That's fantastic. I'm very glad for that because if everybody just agree with me, then it would be a pretty sad community, I think. But while it's true that you do have people who say, you know, who are behind you, there are also people who will disagree with you. You need to be able to give those people their space. And the best way to do that is, you know, is at least to issue a disclaimer at least and say, this is just my view. Is it going to matter a lot to some people? No, probably not. They'll still see you as being the default representative. But at least try and grant other people their space. That's the most important thing that you can do. And, you know, at the same time, be aware of the fact that because you're leading a community, your opinion and what you say is going to be, you know, is going to be subject to greater scrutiny than, you know, some ordinary individual. I've learned this the hard way over the last few years, which is that, you know, people will often expect you to actually to behave in a certain way, to conduct yourself in a certain way that's, you know, that's higher than what most people are expected to do. You can certainly argue that this is a little hypocritical, you know, because, you know, why would you treat me any different than any other human being? But that's the nature of the beast, you know, of being a leader. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, do you care enough about your community to ensure that their name isn't dragged through the mud? You know, we've talked about internal conduct over here. You know, we've talked about how you conduct yourself as a leader. But then what about how you conduct yourself in the outer world? It's important to always remember that damage, you know, to a community image, while repairable, is often there for a very long time. And sometimes it can also be irreparable, you know, like, you know, we're in an age of screenshots, of voice clips, of, you know, harsh words, of rash words being framed for eternity. So I would always remind people to be very careful of what you say and how you say it, because, you know, it echoes and it carries. And I want to be clear, you know, I said this at the very start of this podcast, but I do not see myself as any kind of paragon or any kind of perfect leader to, you know, like whose example everybody should be following. I have absolutely screwed up in this way before, and I've paid for it. But it's something that I would like to hope that at least, you know, I have learned over the years.
We had a situation, it was in Cataclysm, I want to say, where we had a guildie that, he wasn't a bad guildie, he was fine, no big deal, right? And, you know, he showed up to raid and did his thing, and he wasn't like a bad part of our community. But what had happened was somebody had noticed him out in trade chat saying a bunch of nasty, you know, really kind of disgusting racial stuff, and we were kind of left to deal with that. What's the best way to handle the situation where you're like, okay, this person is doing something that's completely disgusting, but it's not, you know, it's not, you know, it's not happening in your Discord or on your IRC. You know, I think what we ended up doing with that guy was actually removing him from the guild and just telling him that wasn't something that we wanted our name brand on. But it's a slightly different situation than just asking people to behave when they're at home. You know, now you're saying, hey, you need to behave. If you're going to wear our guild banner, or, you know, whatever this looks like, you need to behave properly. Do you think that we handled that the right way, or do you think that's a common thing? Or
I think specific to a guild, it's a lot easier, because yes, I think that you did handle it the correct way. A guild is a much more insulated community that's within, you know, that where people actively have very close contact with one another, where you're all working together with, you know, within a guild group on a single realm, you know, playing the same game. Mm-hmm. Remember that World of Warcraft is like, you know, sorry, so, you know, that Acheris and that community is like a much bigger than just that. As I noted, they go well beyond just WoW. In situations like that, it really comes down to, frankly, to a case by case basis. Now, as a rule of thumb, I'm going to say this, and it might surprise some people that I say this, but truthfully, you cannot control what a lot of people do outside of your community, and realistically, you shouldn't try to unless the situation is very extreme. What do I mean by very extreme? All right, here's an example from Acheris. There was once somebody in Acheris who, to my knowledge, hacked somebody's email account, found some very compromising pictures of them, and then posted them over the internet. This was somebody who, when I found out about what they'd done, I immediately banned them from channel. This was years ago, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. It was many years ago. But this was a situation where I said that somebody like this is definitely going to harm the community at large, and that this is just awful behavior. This is not somebody who I want associated with the community. Now, to be clear, I cannot keep tabs on all 700 members of the Acurus Discord right now. So maybe some of them are doing and saying horrible stuff outside of the channel. I don't know, and I can't help that. Heck, perhaps some of them are even behaving horribly in other Discords because those Discords, at least will permit that. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it comes down to reflecting on whether or not this is going to damage your community, and also about asking yourself how productive will it be if I take action. If you have any doubts lingering about whether or not you are able to positively affect the situation, my advice would always be not to do something. Mm-hmm. I think one of the themes that I've emphasized throughout this recording is that very often the very best action that a leader should take is inaction. Just observe, just watch, just go ahead and reflect. The less you intervene, the more likely people are to actually listen when you do intervene.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yep. Let's see here. I don't know if I have any other questions. Is there any other points that you would like to make, Meg? Or?
I'm not sure. I mean, I feel as if I've gone over so many points, and hopefully they haven't been too jumbled, and they haven't been too difficult for people to follow. I mean, I know that I was hoping to also bring in a lot more personal anecdotes about Acurus itself, but it's hard to conceptualize how much stuff just happens in the channel and how many things. How many things we've all gone through. There's been good and bad. There's been instances that I'd rather forget. And then there's also been some very good times as well. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that over the past few weeks, there have been some issues where different members of different Discords have, been a little shell-shocked at how, the behavior in one Discord was one way and how it was, and how it was unacceptable in another place. Now, I will never try and claim that Acurus is the perfect community, nor will I try and claim that everybody there always obeys the rules 100% of the time. What I will say is that very slowly and very surely, I would like to think that we've built a culture around which this community can continue to thrive. Because, as I noted earlier, you can harshly moderate people, you can create separate channels, you can, force people to stay quote-unquote on topic. But that is not the same, in my opinion, as forming a community where people can feel free to talk and to be themselves in the long term. Mm-hmm. And that is something that Acurus, I'm very proud to say, has accomplished.
I think what you've done is you've taken something that may have been built around Warcraft, but have taken that outside of the game and have given people a sense of belonging and a place where they can kind of be themselves and really enjoy more than just I play this class or this spec. It goes beyond theory crafting and who knows who at what company. It's kind of a bigger thing. And there's this sense of pride that you have that over the years has just really evolved into a really wonderful community.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm getting from it. And I'm in the Acurus Discord channel and it's one of the more positive ones that I'm a part of. And I say that with I understand that people have their feedback and everyone's kind of has their quirks, but there's always something good going on in there.
Indeed.
Daryl, do you have anything that you wanted to maybe?
No, I don't think so. I think it was good though. It was definitely a good discussion, good topic for us.
Oh, it was awesome.
No, I think I'm good.
Great.
Magdalena, did you have any other points that you wanted to bring up before we finish here?
No points, just a shout out to the Acurus community. Obviously a community that's very close to me, very close to my heart, that I hope lives on long after I'm gone. Because they say that everybody has a finite amount of time that they associate with WoW and also with the community. So hopefully Acurus keeps going. And I hope that in listening to this, you've understood. You guys have understood a little bit more about how and why certain things are the way they are in channel, and have understood more about the kind of philosophy that I use. When leading the channel, and I only hope that I have proven to be a good leader.
Well, I can I can vouch for what I know here. So, well, if you guys want to send an email to the show at thetrainingdummies.com, if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to leave us a voicemail or join our, as we've mentioned tonight, Discord channel. All that information is over at thetrainingdummies.com.
Why isn't it working? Oh, there it is.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, shout-outs. Rob, what do you have this evening?
I'm going to send shout-outs. Man, they seem to be the same all the time, but, you know, this is kind of like what we're talking about tonight. There's a lot of community around what we do and some of the guys that we play with and engage with, you know, Jacob and Justin and Gondel and Brett and Salty and all those guys. Man, they're just we have a very strong community, too. So I just would love to say thank you to them. A huge shout-out to you, Daryl, for helping get the guild moved over to the new server. I am seriously so hyped about that. I know. Probably way more than I should be, but it's a good thing. So I could go on for a while. Daryl, how about you?
But yeah, it's the same as always as well. But yeah, definitely shout out to our guild. Had one job on the Earthen Ring server. Aha, all different this time. And our raid team, especially for last weekend, last Friday, for putting up with me. I may have had a bourbon buff that was a lot stronger than usual. Like
somebody drank all the bourbon.
Someone drank all the bourbon in my house tonight. Boy, when I find out who that is, they're going to get in trouble. But anyway, yeah. So shout out to all you guys. And for Meg for coming on the show again. It was awesome talking to you again. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Do you have any shout-outs for us this evening?
I already gave a shout-out to my community, so I guess outside of that, I'm going to give a shout-out to all of my friends who are actually not playing WoW right now. Because I know that a lot of people, you know, who I associate with the WoW community, and also some of my close friends, are people who don't play at the moment, but who are still people that I'm very happy to get, you know, to know.
Well, before we wrap up this episode, Magdalena, as if people don't know, is there any other information you want to give people about where they can reach you or, you know, if they have any specific questions about what we talked about tonight? Or?
Sure. They can reach me at MagdalenaDK, which is on Twitter. They can also email me at MagdalenaDeathKnight@gmail.com. And of course, they can access me in Acheris. You know, it is definitely not, you know, not hard to find, you know, where the Acheris Discord is or where, you know, the IRC is. Just go ahead and Google sonofalish.com and you'll have a portal to our IRC right there.
Yep.
All right. Well, that concludes episode 126 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!